All right, thank you. So I'm Eric Keller from Princeton University, and the title of this talk is Seamless BGP Migration with Router Grafting. So the motivation for this work is that networks need to be highly reliable in order to avoid service disruption. At the same time, operators need to deal with change. They need to be able to install new equipment, maintain it, upgrade it. They need to be able to deploy new services and manage the usage of resources such as CPU and bandwidth. But the problem is change causes disruption, and this forces a trade-off. The operator must weigh the benefit of the change against the disruption that it'll cause. So then why is change so hard? We argue that the root cause is the monolithic view of a router, that the hardware, software, and links are all viewed as one entity. When you think of a router, you think of this big physical box connected to a bunch of other physical boxes by a bunch of wires. So in this work, we'll revisit the design to make dealing with change easier. In essence, we'll make the network a more fluid entity. So our approach to this is grafting. So in nature, grafting is where you can take a part from one object and merge it into another. This is used with plants, skin, tissue. We apply it to routers with router grafting, and this enables breaking the monolithic view of a router by allowing us to break apart a piece of one router and merge it into another. In this talk, we'll focus on moving a link and the corresponding BGP session and doing so without disruption. So the question is, why move links and how does this help the network operator deal with change? So one thing that the operators routinely need to be able to do is plan maintenance. They need to be able to shut down a router to replace a power supply or upgrade to a new model. With grafting, they can migrate the links away from the router that's going to be shut down so that when they do shut down the router, it doesn't impact those links to the external networks. And then subsequently, when the router comes back online, they can migrate the links back. Grafting can also be applied to help deal with customers. So ISP networks have a collection of routers from different vendors, different models. And when a customer signs up for service, they list out all their requirements, and then the ISP homes them to a router that meets those requirements. Now, if at some point in the future the customer changes its requirements, for example, requesting a new quality of service capability or a new monitoring capability, and the router that's currently home to doesn't support that, the ISP needs to be able to rehome it to a router that does. So grafting here would enable doing this without the ISP having to tell the customer that, yes, we can satisfy your request, but it's going to result in some downtime. And finally, grafting can be applied to traffic management. So with typical traffic engineering, there's monitoring throughout your network, and you can know how much traffic is entering and where it's entering the network and where it's exiting the network, and roughly how much, you know, utilization on the various links. So you can note that there's one link that's congested, adjust the routing protocol parameters, and that coaxes a subset of the traffic to go around that link. Now with router grafting, we can do that, but we can also have the additional freedom of influencing where the traffic enters and exits the network. In essence, we can change the traffic matrix. So in this example here, we can note that this customer sends a lot of traffic out a particular egress point, and we can rehome that customer to a more appropriate router. So each of these examples can be done today. I mean, you can move links around today, but they're either not done because of the disruption that it'll cause, or they're absolutely necessary, but doing it without disruption would be desirable. So to understand where this disruption is, consider what it takes, the steps that it takes to move a link. Here we're going to move this red link on the right-hand side down to one of the bottom routers. So the first thing that has to happen is that you have to go in there and reconfigure your router to delete that neighbor from the configuration. And you remove the link. Then on the new router that you're moving to, you also have to reconfigure it to add the neighbor and add the link. This will cause a new BGP session to be established with the remote endpoint router. and a whole bunch of routing messages will be exchanged. You'll exchange all your routing state. So this whole process takes minutes. And so not only is this bad in that it's actual downtime, but this is long enough where you're now going to need a formal maintenance window with the neighboring network. So instead, what we'd like to be able to do is break apart the router into pieces. Basically, take the piece of the router that deals with that link and that BGP session and just merge it into the new router. Now, of course, in practice, this will be realized by the old router sending over some state to the new router, moving the link, and then the new router can just take over for it. And so router grafting enables this, breaking apart a router through splitting and merging. But one important thing to note is that it's not just state transfer. So consider this network here, where AS200 in the middle is the network that's going to be making a change. Now, to some destination on the right, it has two equally good paths. It can either go through AS300 or AS400. And because they're equally good, the router's internal to AS200 can choose either one. And so they'll choose whichever one is closest. So in this current setup, the path that's seen by AS100, because it's currently home to the top routers, will be to go through AS300. Now, if this is the link you're going to migrate, now it's to one of the bottom routers, so it's going to go through AS400. And so this means that AS100 needs to be told of this change. So with grafting, the topology actually changes. So you need to rerun decision processes. So with that, the goals of router grafting are, there's two goals. The first is that routing and forwarding should not be disrupted. And by this, we mean that data packets are not to be dropped, routing protocol adjacencies do not go down, and all route announcements are received. The second goal is that change should be transparent, that the neighboring routers and operators should not be involved. This is a change I'm making to my own network. I shouldn't need to get on the phone and call up the neighboring operator to coordinate the event, nor should I have them upgrade their routers to some new routing protocol so that they could support me doing some changes. So we're going to redesign the routers, not the protocol. So the challenge here is achieving these goals in the face of the various protocol layers. So down at the bottom, you have a physical link that connects the two routers. IP is used to send messages between the routers. TCP is used to provide a reliable stream. And then BGP is the routing protocol used to exchange the routes. And in the in the following slides, I'll go through each one of these and how we're able to achieve our goals of transparency and not having disruption. Now, the goal of doing so is not to convince you that this is some huge technical hurdle that we overcame. Instead, it's quite the opposite. It's almost to show the simplicity that we can do each of these things, achieve our goals, without significant changes to the routers. So starting at the bottom, the physical link. So when I mentioned that we're going to be moving around links, you have the vision of somebody unplugging a cable from one router and then plug it into another. And so clearly this would be disruptive. But we note that links are not physical wires. Commonly they go through some form of switch network, for example, through optical switches as part of a programmable transport network. Now, this programmable transport network allows you to set up and tear down links dynamically. And then the actual link downtime is just the short amount of time when to actually switch over the link. And this can be in nanoseconds for some equipment. Onto IP. So IP addresses are used as identifiers in BGP. When you specify the configuration of a BGP session, you specify the IP address of the remote endpoint router. So changing it, if we were to migrate or move this link from one router to another and get a new IP address for that link, then we would require the remote endpoint to have to reconfigure. And so this is not transparent. This is what we didn't want. Now, there's also an impact on TCP, which I'll talk about later. But we can note that IP addresses are not used for global reachability. These are point-to-point links between the routers. And so the IP address is really only used as an identifier. So we can move it with the BGP session. We can disassociate it from the old router and associate it with the new router. And this way, the neighbor doesn't have to reconfigure. Now, it's a TCP. And TCP sessions are long-running in BGP. So killing it implicitly signals that the router is down. So you can't just kill the TCP session and then start it up again on the new router. Now, there are BGP and TCP extensions as workarounds, but these aren't supported on all routers. But since we can move the IP address with the link, with the BGP session, we can capitalize this and keep the process completely transparent. The new router simply needs to know all the TCP session state. We can have it, the old router, bundle up all this state, which includes sequence numbers, the packet input and output queues, and transfer that over to the new router, and the new router can continue where the old one took off. And this doesn't require the remote endpoint router to have any new version of TCP or even notice the change happened at all. So this brings us to BGP. So up to this point, we were able to move the link without disruption, move over the IP address so we didn't require any reconfiguration, and the TCP session moved over with it, so preserving BGP being up and running. Now, what we need now is the new router to be able to just take over for the BGP session. And so when you consider the complexity of the routing software, which are these large systems, that it's a daunting task to think we're going to go in there and pull out all the bits of state associated with it. But when you step back and look at the requirements that we laid out, that we want the data packets to be delivered, and we want the routing adjacencies to remain up, all you really need are the configuration, which is just a text file that you can go in there and scrape out everything associated with that particular BGP session, and the routing information. The rest of the stuff is nice to have, but you don't need it to continue the operation of the routing session. And this really keeps code modifications to a minimum. Now, for the routing information, one way you could go about getting all this information is to involve the remote endpoint router. Similar to the exchange, as when you establish a new BGP session, you can have the router that you migrated to send all of its routes to the remote endpoint. And this is fine to do because it implicitly overwrites everything that the old router was sending out. And then it can ask the remote endpoint to resend all of the routes that it has advertised. But this here is disruptive. It makes the remote endpoint router do a significant amount of work. There's processing that they have to do for each prefix, each update that I send to them. So instead, we can keep all this state transfer locally. We can have, because the old router, the migrate from router, has all this information anyway. So it can send over some state, so it can send the routes that it's learned instead of making the remote endpoint re-announce them. And it can send the routes that it's advertised so that the migrate to router can compare that against its best routes and only send out an incremental update, only send out updates for things that change. Now, in most cases, they're going to be choosing the same routes, so they're not going to be, differ, and so there's not going to be that many updates that need to be sent. Now, this whole process can take a while, that there's a lot of routing state to transfer, and a lot of processing is needed. So when you're exporting it from the old router, the migrate from router, you have to rerun decision processes. When you import it to the migrate to router, you have to rerun decision processes. So there's a lot of processing that's needed. But at the same time, routing changes can happen at any time. So if we had to wait for this entire process to complete, that'd be pretty disruptive. So we need it to be able to be done in the background. And to show that why we can do it in the background, I'll go through when updates can happen. So updates can happen while you're exporting the router state. So now consider if the old router was to dump all the routes to a file, and before it completed that process, it received an update for something that had already been dumped. Now this might, you might already have started this transmission of this file to the new router, the migrate to router. So that might cause a problem, but BGP is an incremental protocol. So this new update that Jesus received implicitly overwrites the old update that's in this file. So you can simply just append it, and it'll be fine. You can receive an update while you're moving the link or moving the TCP session. But TCP is a reliable protocol, so it will retransmit. And finally, you can receive an update while you're importing the routing state. So, you know, you got this dump file, and you've gotten part of the way through it, but if you get an update for something that you haven't imported yet, you don't want to have to wait around till you import that. But, again, BGP is incremental. This new update that you just got implicitly overwrites whatever's in the file, so you can process it immediately and then just ignore whatever's in the dump file when you get to it. So there's one special case that I want to mention, and that's cluster routers. So routers today are large distributed systems themselves. They have, you know, many route processing blades, and they can handle, you know, thousands of links and thousands of BGP sessions. And so you partition the handling of the sessions across multiple blades. Now, to, you know, you can, for similar reasons why you would want to, you know, graft between routers, you might want to do that between blades. And so this is a special case because the topology hasn't changed in this case, that the router is still connected to those its neighbors, and so you don't need to rerun decision processes. And the second difference is why this is a special case is that the switching fabric is such that any line card can reach any blade. So there really is no link that you have to migrate. So we built a prototype adding this grafting capability into Quagga, which is an open source routing software. The important thing to note is that the routing data and decision processes are well separated out. I mean, these are well-known, you know, functionality and data structures that it's well separated out in this code, and I suspect it'll be well separated out in any router software implementation. There's a graph daemon running alongside it, which controls the process. It controls any of the inter-router communication. And then we use a package called SockMy for the TCP migration. It's a kernel module, which allows you to pass it a socket, and it'll bundle up all the TCP state for that socket, remove it from the kernel, and pass it back to the user space program, which you can then transfer over to a different computer and, you know, similarly import it. So on to evaluation. There's three important things to consider. The impact on the migrating routers, the disruption to the network operation, and the overhead on the rest of the network. So in the interest of time, I'm going to skip the last one. So the impact on the migrating router. So this whole process requires work to be done by the router you're migrating from and the router you're migrating to. So those are actual CPU cycles that it takes. So how long this whole process takes is important. In our prototype implementation, the utilization was roughly constant at about 25%. Now shown in this graph is the amount of time it takes for different sizes, it's a different number of prefixes that you had to migrate. The top line is when you're migrating between routers, and then the bottom line, which is faster, is between blades because you didn't have to do a lot of that extra work. Now, the numbers towards the left-hand side would be, you know, if it's a customer link, you might get it towards the middle or towards the right if it's a peering link. So now, all of that time, though, is time in the background. So the actual disruption for the day traffic is that short period of time when you don't have a link. And so this, you know, as I mentioned earlier, would be depending on the equipment, but we've seen that it can be nanoseconds. Now for the routing protocol, that's how the disruption to it is the unresponsiveness, when it sends an update and doesn't get a response or doesn't, you know, propagate the update. And this is when you set the old router to inactive. You migrate the link, migrate the TCP session, and then the new router takes over. And this whole process only takes milliseconds. And the number of, you know, BGP updates you would be getting during this short period is probably, you know, could be zero because of the frequency of BGP updates. So in conclusion, router grafting enables moving a single link or session with minimal code change, no impact on the data traffic, no visible impact on the routing protocol adjacencies, and minimal overhead on the rest of the network. As future work, we're going to explore the applications. So in this talk, we talked mostly about the mechanisms of this and how it could be done without disruption and done transparently. Now we're going to dig down into the applications. We also would like to generalize grafting, you know, beyond a single session to multiple sessions, beyond BGP to other protocols, and beyond routing sessions to other resources and routers. And that concludes the talk. Thanks.
Aditya Akela from Wisconsin. Really interesting work. I enjoyed your talk.
Thank you.
I'm just curious how this relates to the virtual router migration paper from SIGCOMM 2008.
Right.
In particular, is this complementary to that? Are there pros and cons?
It's definitely complementary. I also worked on the Vroom work, and this kind of led, you know, this was almost a result of the Vroom work, that it's, you know, some of the limitations of Vroom are that it's you're migrating an entire router, so we wanted to get finer grain than that, and you needed the support of virtualization on all the routers. But they're also complementary in that, you know, sometimes you do, you know, you can think of it as Vroom is about moving around the nodes in a network, and grafting is about moving around the links in a network. So in that way, we kind of got these two things covered.
But Vroom also relies on your ability to move links within the network as well.
Well, you're moving links with the router, so you're not actually changing the topology. That the router-to-router logical IP-level topology is the same. With grafting, you're changing it. You're changing it for benefit in some cases, you know, like the traffic engineering. Now, the Vroom work didn't require any modifications to the router software itself. It just put this virtualization layer on. The grafting didn't require virtualization, but required modifications to the router software. So you can clearly see how the two of them could be done together.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, not so fast. While the rest of you are thinking of a next question, I'll ask Eric a question as well. So, it's interesting. Interesting work. You spent a lot of effort in the paper, sort of talking about migrating the BGP control plane. And I was thinking about just in general how you might do this for other protocols like OSPF or some IGP type protocol. Do you think the technique generalizes, or are there things specific to GP here that won't carry over quite
so
the same
so
way?
It's I've been struggling with, you know, considering in the case of OSPF is where the actual moving a link changes the topology, but that's very important for the protocol because it's computing shortest paths, so the shortest path really does need to be computed throughout the network. BGP, you want the disruption list because you're interacting with external network. So in that case, I was hesitant to actually feel that it generalized to OSPF. After, you know, other resources, you know, I think can be on, like IP addresses, you know, partitioning that space might be possible. But
one other question, too. So with the other work you're doing and your group is doing, I should say, on sort of removing the control plane from routers entirely, how do you think this relates to that? Do you think this is interesting in that context, or that it's only something we should consider when we have the control plane sitting on the routers?
It's certainly, you know, thought of in the context of the distributed routing, where each of the routers does have it. But, you know, end of the day, you're going to have links and you're going to have nodes in the network. So I do think, and, you know, even if you have a centralized control plane, it's going to end up distributed in some fashion. So I do think that it could apply there, but I haven't given it enough thought to give you a good enough answer.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's thank Eric very much for a very nice paper.
Thank you.